Howdy, DC On-Screen fans. How would you like a piece of original artwork from one of us here at DC On-Screen?
All right, we're aware that you've never thought of that before, but here's the deal. We need your help because the internet is a giant monster that requires numbers and regular feeding times. And then these algorithm things that are like our personal demons that we can't defeat alone. Do the right thing. Go over to iTunes. Give us a 5-star review or a more honest review if you feel absolutely led to. And then email us at dconscreen@gmail.com. What we're going to need you to do is just write in an address. Tell us who you are. Give us whatever address you want us to send you something at. You know, if you don't want us to know where you live, send it to your neighbors and go steal his mail, whatever.
Yeah.
Just give us that, and then we need you to write Dave or Jason, and then we need you to write the name of a character. We're going to send you a piece of artwork. I can say about it is that one of us is a good artist and one of us is not. If you've actually been listening to every episode, you might know the secret answer to that, to who you should really ask. But, hey, or toss
hell,
a coin.
Man, you know, once you get the picture from us, take a picture of it or scan it or something. Send it back to us and we'll put it on Facebook, just like we do with your DC loot.
Yeah. Send it back with, like, critiques if you want to. We don't give a fuck, you know. Draw over it, you know, pull a Deadpool, right?
Whatever. One of us might cry.
we'll both probably cry. But whatever. Point is, you know, it's come that time. It's the classic call to action. We need to get out there. We need to get a little bit of the review game going. This is our humble offering.
Yeah, humble offering. Very humble. I couldn't say it any better myself, man. That was a good pitch.
Oh, thank you.
All right, with that said, settle in for a new episode of DC On Screen.
Yeah, let's bullshit about
ready?
Deadpool.
All right. Hey, so welcome into DC On Screen. Although, I guess this episode is not really DC On Screen, it's Deadpool On Screen. So, I'm your host, David C. Robertson. This is Jason.
Hey!
We have seen Deadpool.
We have seen.
Why?
And we have loved.
Why would we deign to review Deadpool on a DC podcast? Well, you know, Deadpool was kind enough to throw Batman vs. Superman into his marketing.
And sure.
By he, I mean Ryan Reynolds, because I give him all the credit for everything ever with Deadpool. If you think about it, this cat's been the champion, man. He's been the champion of this movie for so long.
No, he absolutely has.
And
little, did you run across this little news bit earlier? I'm gonna quote him real quick. You mind?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Reynolds said, in referring to the X-Men Origins Wolverine movie, they sew his mouth shut, let lasers come out of his eyes. He has weird knives that fly out of his hands. I remember saying, that's really going to anger some people. That's not Deadpool. And they basically said, well, you can play him or we can hire someone else to play him. So for me, I was a little bit blackmailed. Essentially, they promised him that if you play him in this movie, we'll give you the solo movie. And do you remember the news? You remember the news cycles from that time? We were getting a Deadpool movie. We were also getting a Magneto standalone.
Mm-hmm.
That was the news cycle at that time.
That was the point, yeah.
All of those were lies, apparently. But,
Well, it did so poorly. Wolverine did so poorly. X-Men Origins was supposed to be a whole franchise.
Yeah,
like, it was a franchise offshoot.
Break
they
everybody out.
And,
but then they made a weird movie that got leaked so hard that you didn't even have the graphics finished.
Yeah, but I've seen those finished graphics. Getting leaked was not the worst thing that happened to that
not
movie.
Not the worst, no.
Being made was the worst thing that happened to that movie.
It wasn't that damn bad, bitch.
It wasn't. It wasn't that damn bad. It really wasn't. I am on record as saying that a large portion of X-Men Origins Wolverine was good.
Hey, only shot you've ever had of Emma Frost.
But the other portions... Well, I mean, there also was X-Men First Class, but...
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
My bad.
The other portions
My
of
bad.
That movie were so bad. So bad. From the floating, de-aged head of Professor Xavier to the cartoon Bugs Bunny knives coming out of Wolverine's hands, and right on up to the just damn terrible treatment of Deadpool.
I agree.
And Lieb Shriver can't save everything, man.
No, and he did a fantastic job as Sabretooth. And the problem wasn't that he did a good job. The problem was that they had done a really poor job with Sabretooth before.
and it
just didn't... some giant lioness creature. Like, he looked like he was fucking supposed to be in a Narnia novel, not a goddamn Wolverine movie.
He looked like Chewbacca becomes a pro wrestler. Is what he looked like.
Someone shaved him down and said, "No, we should style you."
And every time, like, the Sabretooth and the old, like the Tyler main Sabretooth from the original X-Men movies, all he ever, well, he was only in one, wasn't he? And all he did was just basically make the Chewbacca noise.
Yeah, yeah. He was an entirely inarticulate creature. It was ridiculous. Right. But
the only hint that we had that he had, well, actually, he did speak to Storm, and he said, "Scream for me."
Oh, that's
and
right.
It wasn't even that good. It didn't even sound good.
No. Like Toad
and
Boy.
We found out that he didn't have a brain.
Toad Boy?
Toad.
Toad, sorry.
Just Toad.
Oh, shit. Fuck
Ray
me.
Park, Darth Maul, yes.
Thank you. Toad was better. A more fleshed out character. That's how bad things got.
Yeah. So, I don't blame them for scrapping the Ian McKellen movie.
Oh, come on. I still do. I still do, because you're talking about scrapping an Ian McKellen movie.
But they didn't really scrap it.
No, I... Okay.
They turned it into First Class.
Yes, I agree.
Now, okay.
They scrapped Deadpool.
Spoilers ahead. Spoilers ahead for Deadpool, and probably, apparently, for every X-Men movie that's been created, and probably every Marvel movie. I don't know if Matt and Jeff are over on the Marvel, because it's technically not a Marvel Studios movie either.
Oh no, I've looked at what they've been covering, and yeah, they're all over Deadpool.
Are they?
Yeah.
I saw that they did like Deadpool tangential, but or a Deadpool tangent plus whatever. But I haven't caught up on Agent Carter, so I haven't been listening to their podcast. Don't tell them.
Also, Shield's back. I mean, I haven't been able to like that's
is it.
Yeah, I think so. Hold on.
I didn't think it was.
No, you may be right. I can catch up on
no,
that.
No, S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't come back until Agent Carter is over.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. You're correct.
Okay. So, that's right, folks. Not only am I watching all the DC crap, I'm watching all the Marvel stuff, too. And keeping up with it. God help me.
Yep. Maveth, last episode.
All right, so... Deadpool was a whole lot of fun.
That is way undercutting it.
Yeah.
But it is. I think let me put it this way. If I was as excited right now as I was when I was watching this movie, it would be completely out of context from a lot of the stuff we've ever done on this podcast.
Right.
Holy shit, they nailed it. They fucking nailed it.
I wouldn't say they completely nailed it.
I would say they nailed it.
There were a couple of bits that there were a couple of bits that needed to be in the movie, and they just weren't.
Do tell.
All right. I thought we were going there. I did. Mm-hmm. When he created the costume and kept going through iterations of the costume.
Sure.
I certainly thought that we were going to have a costume that looked like Deadpool's first iteration that had like a million giant pockets all over the place. That was like a Rob Liefeld staple. And I was certain that we were going to have Deadpool complain about there being too many pockets. And we didn't get it. It's a little thing. It's not a big deal. It's a tiny little nitpick, but it's there. And I felt like as much as we saw the name Liefeld floating around in that movie, we should have had a pocket reference.
I agree. I could deal with that. I put that right up there, though, with like the kind of complaint where like I've always thought in the Avengers 1, when Loki asks if it's all the same, could I have that drink now? I thought Tony Stark should have immediately walked out of the power shot and gone to get him a drink. As a fellow alcoholic, I felt like that's what he would do. Or at least an alcoholic trying to offer some dude who's just been beaten the fuck out of by the Hulk.
Right.
Yeah, that's the kind of complaint where like, yeah, they might have done this too, but...
The other bit that bothered me a little bit, there are maybe a couple. One... There's that whole bit in the comics where he talks to himself, and there are like three or four different personalities in Deadpool's head, and he like asks and answers questions.
Yeah.
He talks to himself. I felt like that wasn't even in there, and I could have dealt with that. Like, I mean, maybe he gets crazier.
I'm hoping that's how that works, because at this point, this was an origin story for Deadpool.
Right.
So I'm hoping that devolves into that kind of schizophrenic nightmare that you're that we're all so in love with.
He does get crazier and crazier as the comics go. I know, like my introduction to Deadpool wasn't even his introduction. It was in an issue of Wolverine, and he was coming after Kane, who had started dating Copycat Vanessa.
Nice.
Who, by the way, she's totally a mutant with like pointed ears and shit in the comics. White hair, pointed ears, blue skin. It's a whole thing, or blue gray skin, something like that. But anyway,
why the hell not?
Kane was also from the Weapon X project, by the way. So he's kind of going to try to kill Kane for stealing his Goyle. So even by that juncture, they hadn't gotten to like he's in love with death, like all that bullshit.
That was so, something I'm kind of like. One of my giant hopes for Deadpool 2 is that Miranda Bakarin's character straight up dies and becomes death, and they have to like incorporate that somehow.
No, I don't even want that. I don't want that at all. I want her to actually become Copycat. I want her to turn out to be that. I want them to do it like Austin Powers 2 style, where it was like, oh, it turned out that she was a bad guy and she was Copycat and she was a mutant the whole time and she was fooling me. And then like you just have Basil Exposition go, yes, we knew the entire time, sadly.
I'll be slightly sad. Like they set up the love story of that, and it actually is a love story. This is kind of a rom com if you look at it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And God, Miranda is just so fucking delightful in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just damn charming. I would kind of be sad to lose her, so I kind of want to incorporate her into that. But that's one of my favorite portions of the Deadpool. Like idea is that he's in love with death. It's kind of the he's one of the people that actually had the advantage of meeting her and still being alive to pine for her.
Mm-hmm.
Very rare,
right? So yeah, that's kind of where I'm hoping they go more into schizophrenia and him being in love with death and just do whatever you want to get rid of or change Copycat. That's what I'm saying. But other than that, I thought it was a delightful movie. It was fine. I really enjoyed it.
I gotta say, though, I mean, if what instead they give you in movie two is Deadpool and Cable, dude, I'm gonna be distracted for another hour and a half. I'll be fine.
Well,
I'll be okay.
Look, here's the thing. Like, when you look back at the old Deadpool comics, and I have from time to time, not in great detail because they're not good. He wasn't schizophrenic or anything like that. He was just an asshole. He was the merc with the mouth, and that's fine.
That's a charming enough anti-hero characteristic anyway. I mean,
he wasn't quite so fourth wall. He became that over time,
yeah.
And I'm fine with him, you know, doing that. I mean, shit, we were talking about earlier, like, he's in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and this is a character that literally grabs his own health bar and beats the other character to death with it.
which is just
he's as fourth wall as you get.
Lick
eventually.
Your lips, delightful.
Yes. This is a character that like eventually gets so fourth wall that he's not even a plausible and viable character in the Marvel universe anymore. Like he's there as a joke, and you could easily say that he's there as a figment of most people's imagination, if he's there at all.
Oh yeah. Like we're never gonna get our ambush bug movie either. I mean, never say never,
because I would have never thought that we actually got a Deadpool movie a couple years ago.
I know, but I will say never about an ambush bug movie. I'll go ahead and take that.
I'm saying, man, I'm okay.
Whatever amount of years I'm blessed enough to continue living, I'll bet I never see that movie.
To be fair, Jason, how much would you have bet in 2005 that we were going to get a fourth wall ending to a Batman series that featured exclusively Ambush Bug and as the protagonist.
Brave and the Bold,
I mean,
to keep
Batman,
everybody up.
Yeah. Batman was in that episode, but he wasn't the protagonist. Ambush Bug was.
No, he wasn't.
Batman was just, things were just happening to Batman, and Ambush Bug had to save Batman.
Yeah, in the last few episodes of that series, too, like, you really say goodbye to him, like, three or four episodes before it ends. Because it's the last Batman-y moment.
Yeah, I mean, throw me into 2005, myself in that time stream would say, Ambush who?
Sure.
Are you seriously bringing out Ambush Bug?
Sure.
Like, what kind of crack are you trying to sell me, man?
No, that's not even deep track. That's fuck you track. That's the thing that happens when your needle is no longer... There's so much dust on the needle that it just starts jumping over everything and ruining your records. That's what you would have thought was happening.
This is a character that is the only evidence of his existence in DC headquarters is in the lowest floor in the basement underneath a pile of wet papers, like tax returns.
Just the copies that are new, not the originals copied before they sent.
Yeah, just the copies. Like underneath a pile of wet tax returns that's been leaked on, and like Ambush Bug himself he's being eaten by silverfish.
Right,
that's what's happening.
Yeah, that's actually about where I have him in the canon. Yeah,
so
no arguments here.
And by the way, his arch nemesis, the sentient sock Argyle, mm-hmm. he's even lower. At no juncture. I mean, look, man, you go back to, you know, around the same time, and you say, hey, man, what do you think about Batmite coming back? I'd have been like, not since Dark Knight Returns, man. Batmite, that's something that we all want to forget.
Right.
No.
That was
but
a
Paul
cute
Rubens
thing.
Came back and showed us all how wrong we were.
Right.
So,
well,
that's why I say never say never, man. I
understand the never say never. I do. I'm also... willing to do that anyway, but fuck, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guarantee you,
we'll see. We would see an Ambush Bug movie before we see a Black Lightning movie.
God, I hope that's not true.
You want to know why? Because DC is going to look at Deadpool and go, "Oh shit, what do we have like that?" They're going to have Ambush Bug. They're going to have a Harley Quinn solo movie. They're going to have Lobo.
No, you know
they're
gonna
be looking to get all the rated R's out.
The closest they have that's if they want to pull fourth wall breaking into that, then they've got Animal Man and Superboy Prime they can play with.
They won't do Animal Man because it sounds stupid. Not saying it is stupid, I'm saying it sounds stupid. An Ambush Bug,
oh,
that's
Billy
kinda
Bud.
Like a spider. Spider-Man does good.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, man. I going back to something you said, though, I agree with the schizophrenia. I do. That would have been fun to see, but I'm fine with it in the context of what we saw. Like, that might have been a little actually distracting, because if he started talking to himself in that manner, we're kind of wondering, like, all right, where are we going with this film? Are we going to get all...
Yeah, sure.
We're going to get, you know,
but
all
you
Arkham
know
Asylum on this shit. I understand which context
absolutely.
I'm talking in. But...
I just said absolutely. Yeah. Apparently, I do. All signs point to yes. Sadly, Dave, you know exactly what he's saying.
Right, but I this was fine because at this point they still mm-hmm. gave me the fourth wall, and that was the most important part. At 16th mm-hmm. wall, actually, at some point.
Yeah. And you know what? If you want to get crazy with it, I mean, not even crazy, just logical progression of character.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gets rid of her. That's what gets rid of Marina Baccarin's character in Deadpool 2. Like, he actually goes just a little more nuts, and she can't handle him talking to himself.
But I wouldn't be able to believe that at this point, because she just looked at this prune-faced abomination of a man. Oh my God. The T.J. Miller jokes about his face were fucking amazing.
Amazing. But, you know, looks are looks, man, but if you can't tell who you're actually talking to, that's no good.
Well, I agree. I know. But
no, I'm not saying that's the case. I mean, we know
he
has to have a son at some point.
It would kind of get into a serious aspect of it that I might not, like, if she left him over the voices in his head, I actually, especially the way, like, they made a whole deal about how they're pieces of a puzzle, and we fit together, uh-huh. and your crazy matches my kind of crazy, and... They focus mm-hmm. so much on that if they betrayed it in the next film, I wouldn't like it. I would rather them...
I say get rid of it.
I would rather them get rid of her and the only reason I'm even saying get rid of her is just because it has to be death at some point. But I would rather give
her... It doesn't have to be.
If they're gonna let him fall in love with anybody else, it kind of has to be, right? Or mm-hmm. or just take a nominal... approach to the entire thing and just like let her become an assassin too, and she nicknames herself Death. Yeah, that's the reaction you would probably get from a lot of people.
Yeah. See, that's my fear, is that yes, this did phenomenally well. It's something like $230 something million right now, like 4 days in. Great. Awesome.
Actually, I just checked.
Shit,
it.
Man.
282.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah, in 4 days, 282.
Yeah, so
53% of domestic and 46% of literally 50% of every person that watched a movie this weekend watched Deadpool. If you go talk to 100 friends, which I guess someone might be able to have and actually maintain, 50 of those people watched Deadpool this weekend.
And you know, or 50 just
that watched a movie, you watched it.
Putting this out there, if you've already seen Deadpool a couple of times and you're just looking for, you want to go see a movie and you don't know what you want to go see, go check out Hail Caesar, the Coen Brothers movie. It's so good. Completely different kind of comedy, but it's so good, man.
All right.
It's
ahead.
So good.
Go ahead and pip.
me and Bethany went to go see Hail Caesar the other day, and it was just, it was everything I wanted it to be and everything I didn't expect it to be, but everything I wanted it to be and expected it to be at the same time, if you understand that. Like,
no, exactly. If you like Coen Brothers movies, that's precisely what I felt like when I left Deadpool, was like, this is everything I wanted and expected. Thank you. Fucking thank
it was
you.
Mostly what I expected and wanted. But you can't have everything in one shot. Like, come back.
You
come
literally
back.
Cannot. I mean,
do more. I know.
There'd have to be intermissions. Like, I've actually seen Gone with the Wind in a theater in my lifetime. They did replays of it.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have the intermission. That was the only way to tell the whole story at one point. And to do Deadpool, even to get the highlights of the entire character, like any other character that we've covered, and he's a small version of it. Like, for fuck's sake, to do a Batman, you'd have to have 3 intermissions, you know?
Mm-hmm.
To do it in one movie and, what is it, a minute and...
And that's just year one.
Yeah. To do an hour, it's an hour 46 runtime. It probably amounts to about an hour and 35-ish and some change-ish of actual screen time before credits or something. And God, they did a good fucking job.
They did. It was really good. I mean, I don't want to seem like I'm being too negative here. There are a couple of bits that I would have loved to have seen, but they did a really good job. They really did. Like, this is my favorite Fox Marvel movie.
Oh, easily.
This is like X-Men who? And the only reason they even get a mention in there is because, damn it, they were in this movie. Like, I love the... this place is so big. I only see 2 of you. It's almost like the studio didn't have enough money to pay for any more X-Men.
Actually, that was fucking phenomenal. The Fox X-Men movies in particular, I'm looking at opening weekend stats now. Same thing I was looking at on the news, if anyone's doing this in progression. X-Men The Last Stand brought in $102 million, which put it in 31st place, according to Box Office Mojo.
That was the opening weekend?
Opening weekend stats. Deadpool brought in the 132 mark. So it is, by a very large margin,
a large, like, the best 13 thing years got. Difference? Something like that?
Let's see. Oh, no, Last Stand? God, that was...
Last Stand, yeah, that was 2003?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Let me put it this way. Total gross on the entire movie for... $234 million for X-Men Last Stand.
Last Stand, though, was a disappointment.
I know, but it's still the highest ranked on this list. I'm giving you the highest ranked that they've got.
Okay.
$150 million right now for Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
It has already brought in some 60%+
mm-hmm.
Of everything that movie brought in.
And, you know, we were talking about this in the last episode. It has, like, what, roughly 500% of the social media buzz that Marvel proper is getting right now. Like, it was number 3 right after Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad for the superhero movies that are most talked about
on social media. It deserved it. The viral marketing on Deadpool was groundbreaking.
Absolutely.
That's the kind of thing. I mean, it's like every other kind of marketing. If you overdo it, everyone will be doing it, and then it's fucking worthless. But they... Right. did it so well. So fucking well.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Deadpool is going to be one of those movies that you go and buy the Blu-ray. And I say that because that's where they're going to actually put all of the promotional materials in.
Yes. Yeah. Now, no, I have like the 3D copy of Avengers 1.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a 3D television. I'll never have a 3D television. I don't earn enough money to own these things in my life. But I've got that thing because if I ever do have that amount of money, there are special features on it. Like if I go to somebody's house that has it, I can watch this shit.
No, to be clear, though, I bought that. I have so many DVDs where it's like, oh, we have all the TV spots. I don't give a shit. I don't care. You have all the trailers. You have all the TV spots. Well, that's awesome. Right. I mean, after I watch the movie, maybe I'll look at them and just kind of go, oh, well, that was kind of boring, but it's kind of cool that you have all of them. This is like, you buy the Deadpool Blu-ray, you're going to watch the movie and be like, I wish there was more movie. Guess what? You got more movie. It's called All the Spots because they're all brilliant. They're all hilarious. Viral videos, all of the promotions. Worth of
movie.
Yeah. And like, if you're like, oh, well, they didn't have enough movie, well, that's because they split up the writing duties to make the freaking marketing for this movie. It's hilarious.
No, they are genuinely good. And it's not like we can offer a critique in some manner to DC that we actually cover. Because if you had anything like this happening in anything that's currently on the DC movie slate, it would make no sense. And DC's television slate straight up can't do it. I mean, there aren't more than 24 hours in a day. Television can't accomplish this kind of shit. It just can't. Mm-hmm. But Deadpool's the kind of character where you can just write something funny, send Ryan Reynolds out in that funny suit, and make it happen. And it's so organic because it works for that character. Like, this isn't something that, as much as, trust me, there are many things about this movie that I want to scream at the Warner Brothers executives, did you fucking see this? But one of them...
They saw it, but they're going to take all the wrong lessons from it.
Of course they are. Because that's the lot we... that's the lot we live on. But they really, like, there's not a ton from the viral portion that WB could currently take on.
No, I
actually don't hate them on that. It's unless they did some... Let me put it this way. They wouldn't be able to take themselves as lightly as Deadpool does. Like, even if you are watching the film thinking you've seen a plot hole here and there, which I'm going to say bridge scene, why are there no law enforcement anythings showing up after like a 20-minute bridge collision and blah, 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 blah. Okay.
I like to think movie that shit. They just thought, you know what? Movie most shit. Of the time, those look like mutants. And most of the time, when there are mutants... One of them starts flying and rips the bridge out of the water. So we're just going to stay over here.
No, and it's clearly Vancouver. And a bunch of Canadian police apparently are not going to take this on personally. They're going to let that shit ride.
By the way,
there's a giant steel man on the bridge. Let's see if he can take care of it before any of us get up and actually do something.
Yeah, by the way, I think my favorite part of the movie is Colossus is trying to take Deadpool back to the Xavier Institute. He says, we have to talk, we'll speak with the professor. He says, Deadpool says, is it McAvoy or Stewart? I get the timelines confused.
Yeah, Colossus was actually central to a lot of forget my rant. I don't care anymore. Colossus was central to a lot of things I loved about the movie. Like, him, the bit between the entirely CGI character and Gina Carino, where the nip slip, where he's all modest about it. And
he looks frightened. Oh my God.
Yeah, he does a little bit. But they did Colossus right, finally. He is modest and too polite and kind of scared. He's a very conservative fucker.
Except for the part where he killed himself to, cure mutant kind of the whatever it was. Sure. Legacy virus or whatever.
Legacy virus sounds familiar. But yeah, aside from the whole resurrection thing, his active, his personality is pretty damn conservative. So it was fantastic. Also, he's not like, the guy in the X-Men movies is like 6'1.5", 6'2",
something like that. No, Colossus is fucking 8 foot tall.
Right.
His name is Colossus. But yeah, the nip slip between him and, oh shit, what was her actual name in this?
What was her name?
What was her alias name?
I just keep thinking Less Angry Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah, okay, let's go with that. Between him and Less Angry Rosie O'Donnell.
Right.
I'm sorry, my memory has failed me. But the nip slip thing is fucking hilarious.
Right.
Yeah. That part, and I know how cheap the physical comedy is, and I could search my entire life and not give a fuck. The scene where he like breaks 3 of 4 limbs trying to hurt Colossus
was amazing.
Is amazing.
It was amazing.
I was nearly in tears watching it. Just like he's on the third limb going, you know, this is only going to get worse for you. And like going into the, like he finally gets back up and says, you know, the thing about the one-legged man in an ass kicking contest. Like, oh my God. Oh my fucking God.
You and know
even,
what?
Even past that, like, song is on arm off and all the arterial spray, money shot. Just fuck. Fuck me. How could a movie make me this happy?
You know what was better than that was the. And I knew it. I knew it was going to happen, obviously. But the grandiose speech by Colossus at the end about not taking a life. And then Deadpool just, like, pops the dude right in the head. And Colossus just starts puking.
Like some weird glimmery still stuff. Yeah.
I don't know.
Presumably the breakfast he had had earlier that day.
I don't know what puke would look like.
We saw him eating cereal. So apparently that's what cereal turns into if you put it inside of a giant still body. Yeah.
Right.
He's got to be hard on toilets.
God help me. I really liked Negasonic Teenage Warhead. She was awesome.
I would like, first of all, she's organic. She actually does serve a purpose. She's not some kind of stereotypical joke about teenagers, because, oh my God, how long has that been going on? Mm-hmm. But she actually does serve a purpose in the movie, which is a lot more fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the simple moment later where she kind of says, okay, you're kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And in true Merc with the Mouth form, he doesn't accept it and think, okay, great. Cool, quiet moment between me and you. He, like, calls it out and fucking flops his dick on it like he does every other damn thing. And, yeah, she turns away. And God, man. But we knew about the joke going in where it was just, oh, my God, coolest name ever.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Shit. I mean, the funny in this film was 200%, dude.
Yeah. I loved even the opening credits, like, beautiful opening, beautiful, but the
produced, you know, by some asshats, directed by an overpaid tool, written by the real heroes here.
That's the one that got me.
Yeah. Starring some hot guy or something like that. And like it goes like some hot guy, some hot girl, the comic relief, a CGI character, a teenager.
A moody teenager.
A moody teenager. Thank you.
Yeah.
God, even the opening credits were just... Mwah.
I love, like, the Starbucks cup that had Rob L. written on it. Obviously a reference to Rob Liefeld. Yeah, that was good.
Oh, man. Like, this is the kind of movie where before he even gets in that cab, you're already thinking... If you haven't already laughed... Well, actually... I'm going to restate myself entirely. If you didn't laugh when you saw the credits come up, you're not the kind of person who's going to enjoy this movie. Walk out right now.
Yeah.
But by the time he gets to the cab guy, and oh my God, the speech with him and the cab guy later is like, oh man, just if you love someone, you got to just let her go and let her come back to you. Kill him.
Which is the closest I got to the schizophrenic thing. I think it really could have worked if they played it like that. But anyway.
No. I genuinely think the schizophrenic thing would have been too confusing for this kind of movie. This specific movie. There are only so, and there are a lot of really interesting aspects to Deadpool, and you got to sneak them in. You've only got so much time. You got an hour and a half-ish to tell your story.
Well, hey, I did notice they stabbed him in the brain.
Yes.
They stabbed him in the brain. Maybe next time he gets a little schizophrenic from that.
Why can't they? I mean, that's part of the Deadpool character. It was like he does reform all the neurons, but
It's actually one of my favorite aspects of Deadpool. Just because you put all the neurons back the way you found them doesn't mean they fucking do the same job. Mm-hmm. Brains are really interesting and really bizarrely, creepily, crazily, and scarily not at all what you expect them to be. So, yeah, you can put everything back exactly how you found it. And this guy speaks Russian now.
Mm-hmm.
Because fuck you. You don't understand brains.
I actually want Deadpool to say exactly those words.
Because fuck you, you don't understand brains?
Yes.
But that's how he lives,
he can,
man.
He can direct it, he can direct it at the audience at the beginning of the next movie while he's explaining that he has schizophrenia now. I don't know.
No, man. I mean, they're... I even loved... What is it? What's the song? Just call me Angel in the morning.
Yeah. Angel in the morning, yeah.
That's the only thing I remember from this song. It's the only thing I'll ever remember from this song, except when the movie actually comes out on DVD and I watch it like 15 times in a row.
Right.
I'll remember everything that's in that movie, and then short of that, I'll be completely undone. By the way,
mm-hmm.
the Wham references. I just love that they... I loved his insistence that, no, that's when they earned the exclamation point. Fucking great, man. And then a little writer joke. I told you they'd be back at the very end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I remember it this way. I haven't... This will be an entirely subjective view, and feel free to... be as pissy as you want about my subjective view of the world, but I haven't enjoyed a movie this much since I watched Shaun of the Dead the first time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for real.
That's kind of impressive.
But it was the kind of movie that just entertained me so goddamn much.
Sure.
I didn't have anything to offer. I didn't have anything to really criticize. It was a movie that took itself just seriously enough that I could care, but not so seriously that I could really call it on some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Just right in the middle, and it knew itself, and it owned itself, and it was absolutely wonderful, and just made me chuckle one way or the other. There were a couple of warm, wonderful, joyous, humorous tears somewhere in the movie, just laughing until there was a little bit of that trickle in the side of my eye.
I didn't laugh very much.
I laughed, sir.
But I saw this thing
at Thursday at 7 with an entire crowd. Mm-hmm. And you know how like a crowd can kind of attenuate
I mean, people were laughing around me. I just, I didn't laugh. I chuckled a few times, but mostly I just had a big dopey dumb grin on my face. nothing particularly, like, I feel like one of the issues with this movie is that a lot of the best jokes are in the trailer. That being said, they take a lot of those jokes and they expound upon them. You told me that was going to happen, and it did happen. Expounded upon them. They fleshed them out. There was
like,
more to
by
it.
By the time T.J. Miller is done, it was a little bit funnier than you actually thought it was going to be, right? A couple of little nuances to the joke. No, just that part that I'm talking about, the like avocado having sex with an avocado.
Right.
But like when he says,
"I like T.J. Miller." I've seen him in a few things.
I have. He's never been on my radar before. But like the avocado had sex with an avocado. That's a good punchline. But when he goes into like, yeah, and it's not even like they have a bad relationship. Like this is the only thing they can do. That was
on point.
Slow clap. Good.
I mean, I've seen T.J. Miller in a few things. I feel like he's got exactly three notes. He plays those notes well. I enjoy the notes.
Miles Davis.
He was in this movie exactly as much as he needed to be. Any more, he would have become a detriment, I think. But I enjoyed him a lot.
Let me ask you
this,
though.
I'm
sorry. Finish your thought.
By far, I think the funniest thing he said in the movie was, "I'd go with you, but I don't want to."
That was fantastic. And the way even like. Wilson just looks at him at that point and like slaps him up like, yeah, I get you, bro. It's very much the relationship they had before, right?
Yeah, and they spent a good 5 minutes like previous to that scene, like leading up to that scene, a good 5 minutes of the movie just
I need all
finding
the guns.
every damn gun he can find.
Right.
And then proceeds to forget them in the cab.
Yes. Which was a glorious callback because like
he forgot the guns the first time, but mm-hmm. you didn't have as much investment in it. So when he forgets them the second time, and they've kind of, it's the kind of thing where you, they put so much investment in the second time, and there was so much going on that didn't occur to you that he might actually forget the duffel bag.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of those moments of like, dude, good pacing. Fucking good pacing. Never occurred to me that you were going to pull back that joke right now.
Yeah. Did it occur to you that the guy was just lying to him about being able to fix his face?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I assumed.
Yeah. That seemed like one of those things. Because he was toying with him. He was a cat playing with a mm-hmm. dying bird, you know?
I mean, as funny as this movie was, though, like, his torture scenes, they were pretty brutal. Like, I couldn't breathe for a minute.
Oh, no. It was a rated R movie. And it meant it.
Like, I mean, not even just being like, oh, it's rated R. I'm saying, like, you know, like, just one of the, like, tamest things, like, from a visual standpoint, him laying in that tube suffocating.
Yeah, but
that was, like, the...
My suggestion would be that, like, psychologically, that act of suffocating another human is... That's as bad as any other fucking... Like,
look, people who rate movies aren't smart violence. Enough to understand... People who rate movies aren't smart enough to understand the word psychologically. They say, oh, is there a vagina? Is there a penis? Did the character use drugs?
I actually was there agree blood? That's probably the case at the censorship bureau there. I think that comes down to a system of lawyers watching films going, I saw red, I don't know.
Oh no, that seemed pretty good. I mean, he was just laying in a tube, breathing hard.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll let this in. But dude, that is a deeply torturous scene. It doesn't Absolutely. Look like much, but it fucking well is. And oh my god, I did love the torture on that. Look, the T.J. Miller thing I was going to get at a second ago.
Okay, sorry.
I was told going into this movie that there would be two stingers. What I learned after watching the stingers, and trust me, I watched this movie until it said, like, you should update your DirectX.
Uh-huh.
I saw a desktop before I fucking left the seat. But
uh-huh.
Did you kind of think that I forget the name of T.J. Miller's character. Can you help me out on that?
Weasel.
Weasel, thank you. Did you kind of think Weasel was going to sleep with Blindell? That we were going to, like, that was one of the stinger scenes that we were in store for?
Like, you were going to see them, like,
smoking a cigarette after all that?
I thought it was possible. I did. I thought it was more possible that we would get something with them both really, really high.
A ton of cocaine between them wouldn't have surprised me either. I thought we were going to see a little bit more of them in the stinger, because it felt like a kind of stinger scene, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, like, for Deadpool, that would be the translation of a shawarma scene, yeah?
Right.
I'm not disappointed to have not had that scene, trust me. Because the stinger scene we got was pretty fucking great.
Oh, absolutely.
If anyone didn't actually bother to stop and watch that, like, I've spent a lot of time sitting around in a theater wondering why someone would leave knowing that there's going to be another scene. And my best guess is that I don't know, dude. Shit happens in your life, and like, surely there's a baby dying somewhere.
Uh huh.
And that's why you didn't stick around to watch that last stinger. But
I only saw one stinger.
I was told it was gonna be two, but it kind of was just like a one with like a quick break back. Oh no, seriously.
Yeah. But unless they mean that, like, the little ending credits were a little animated thing, that was kind of nice. But
okay, the ending credits with the little animated jokes were pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had another good couple of chuckles on the way to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the last bit, just knowing that there's going to be like Cable and Deadpool,
yeah,
knowing that's where they want to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
Mm-hmm.
God, I feel so lucky.
Now, in true form in true spirit of Negasonic Teenage Warhead,
sure,
calling Deadpool old,
sure,
I felt myself get a little gray when during the post-credit stinger, a couple behind me who were approximately college-aged began discussing whether or not that last stinger, that stinger was a callback to something or not. There was a girl who was like, is that like supposed to be like referencing something? Because it seems like it's supposed to be referencing something. The guy goes, I don't know. I think it's supposed to be funny. I mean, he's wearing a robe.
I mean, the guy's right. And I don't blame the girl. Like, you get into a movie like this, and in just the couple you're describing, you get into a movie like this, and you kind of, by the end of a movie where you've broken the fourth wall that many times, mm-hmm. you totally expect to see Ryan Reynolds in the fucking lobby when you leave.
Well, sure. But he wasn't right. It wasn't just supposed to be funny. It was a reference to something.
Wait, what did I miss?
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. What did hit me. I don't remember a pajama Deadpool scene. What you got?
Well, I mean, you know, he's wearing the bathrobe at the end of the credits, and he comes in. He's like, it's over. Get out of here. The whole thing.
Yeah.
That's specifically a reference to Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Like, at the end of the credits,
shit.
Matthew Broderick comes out in the bathroom, in like the house coat or the robe or whatever, and he's like peeking out from the thing. You're still here? It's over. Go home.
Holy shit. Go. You're right.
And then it cuts to black with chicka chicka, which Deadpool does after the final bit. Like, he pokes his head out and goes chicka chicka. Wow.
Oh my god. You know what's so sad is like the chicka chicka, I totally got. I went, oh yeah, Ferris Bueller. Until you just said it. Oh my god, dude.
Yeah.
Look, give me this. I was like 8 when I saw that movie the full way through. And when I saw a couple of replays on like Comedy Central on Sunday afternoon or some shit, that mm-hmm. you didn't get the stinger. That one's been a fucking minute. Good job on noticing that shit.
Yeah, I understand it's been a minute, but what I can't give you is the fact that you were 8 the last time you saw Ferris Bueller's Day Off all the way through. That is a masterpiece. Like, how do you get away with that? And claim to like comedy.
Well, Comedy Central gave me, like, I'm 14, 15, and 16, watching it once a year at this point. Because Comedy Central,
that was old enough. That was old enough for you to realize that they cut out the best bits on Comedy Central. Get your ass to a movie store and get yourself a DVD or a VHS, something.
Nope, I regret nothing. There's only so much you could actually do. It's only so much.
Yeah, there is only so much. There is only so much time and only so much you can do.
And all of it should be spent on Ferris Bueller.
Not all of it, but some of it.
The appropriate amount. A more appropriate amount than I have apparently selected.
Every couple of years, you should go back and check out Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Ferris Bueller is a movie worth watching. You know why? Because he's a righteous dude.
Oh, yeah, good fucking catch on that.
So there goes my complaints about the idiot young people behind me not getting the Ferris Bueller reference. You didn't even get it.
I didn't. And I'm a contemporary. Like, there's clearly a gradient here.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a gradient, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously, man. You get a chance. Go back and check that movie out. It's good stuff all the way through.
I believe you.
One of the last great John Hughes movies.
Mm.
So anyway, we got any more on Deadpool? I mean, we could probably keep talking about it, but it's getting kind of long in the tooth as far as the evening goes.
I would just... It's one of the few movies that where I've ever left the theater with just the dream and hope and complete fantasy that there would be just mm-hmm. like a guy at a booth selling DVDs of this movie so I could just go home and watch it right the fuck now. Because,
mm-hmm.
oh my god, I would have just gone home and watched it again.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, it's that funny, but it's also that quick. Where you feel like you can go back and watch those jokes a few times and be pretty happy with yourself. I don't know if it's going to be like a, oh my god, you missed it, there was a deep meaning here and blah, blah, blah. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of that. Obviously, I would have missed the Ferris Bueller thing over and over again. But I don't know if there's going to be a lot of moments where you're like, oh my god, how did I not see this? Blah, 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 blah. But damn it, man. I would have just enjoyed the jokes over and over again.
I mean, I know I saw, like, in that slow motion car scene opening sequence, there was something with a Hello Kitty tube. It was like a tube of something that had Hello Kitty on it.
Nice.
And I wondered, what the hell is that? There's no way I can pause that and look at that, but that was a thing that just happened.
Oh, there's going to be a ton of those. There's going to be a lot of, like, freeze frame. Holy shit, did you catch this? God. Yeah. And I really did. I watched this with a full theater. I mean, I want to say it was, well, I say full, but you know how theaters are these days. Like 85% full, which is really fucking high. I mean, the last time I actually went to a theater and had that kind of audience participation was probably The Dark Knight. And right before that, I want to say it was Watchmen. That just everyone was involved. It was almost like you're in it with other people. Like you can actually talk to people you don't even fucking know and just say, "Hey, did you catch that? Oh my god!" In the middle of a scene, and everyone's kind of okay with it.
Did you actually have anyone actually get up and leave angered in your theater?
Dude, if that happened, I didn't fucking notice.
Yeah, about 7 to 10 minutes, I'll say, into the movie. A woman gets up with her little kid, shaking her head, and angrily walks out, which was amusing because there were other kids. There were a fair amount of kids in there, and you know it was kind of like you know they were all with their dads. I'm like, oh, this must be on the DL, but dude, like all over the place in that theater were they actually had printouts. That said, like, Daredevil, like, A Parent's Guide to Daredevil, not Daredevil, Deadpool. I don't know why I keep doing that. Deadpool. A Parent's Guide to Deadpool. Uh-huh. And it was like, you know, graphic nudity, sexuality, violence. And I actually saw, like, as I'm paying for my ticket, there's, like, a piece of paper in front of me that says, character masturbates with a unicorn.
That happens. And then makes
and that was just like,
many other jokes about exactly that moment.
Yeah, so I'm like, how are you guys missing all of these things? I mean, remember when America was smart enough to only hear, oh, it's R-rated, cool. I should probably not take my kids to that. Now, the theater has to have, like, printouts. And they still don't read the shit. I don't know. I kind of just wanted to follow the lady for just a minute. Be like, idiot!
I can't, I'm sorry, I cannot muster sympathy for someone who like brought their child and then was disgusted by the movie because it hurt their child's innocence of, I don't just come on, dude, like don't just go, oh my god, a guy in a mask. So clearly that's a superhero film. So I should go watch the same thing that I watched when Richard Donner was making them. Who the fuck are you talking about now? We're talking about a post Nolan, post Man of Steel. There are no heroes. The big blue Boy Scout. The oldest Boy Scout, whatever you want to call it, is now a guy who like snapped a guy's neck at the end of a film. Clearly, you're in a world that's post that. Watch, like, just take a second. It's rated R. Take one look at the trailers before you actually take a kid there.
Oh, that could have been a fun scene. Speaking of Donner Superman, I kind of wish that they'd done like a cannonball special with Colossus, like picking Deadpool up to throw him, and he kind of. And he grabs Negasonic, Teenage Warhead, and they're both, like, thrown, flung by Colossus, and as they're, like, soaring through the sky, he just kind of, like, holds her out, like Superman and Lois. He looks at her and goes, "Can you read my mind?" And she goes, "Oh my god, you're so old."
Nice.
They should have done that. I'm not harping on the movie. I just wish they would have done that.
Very nice indeed. I don't know, man. It's really not like it's not kin friendly. I've told people that I know in my life, like, hey, your kids aren't supposed to go to this film. It has nothing to do with anyone's ideology. It's just your kids aren't supposed to go to this film. Period. It's not like you need to have a very special relationship with like. There's a maturity factor to actually going to watch this movie. Period. I could not possibly pick a number to describe that, but there's a maturity factor, and you need to be aware of that.
Like, man, I would say, you know, kids should not see this movie. Elders should not see this movie.
Probably
deacons should not see this movie.
But I should go see this movie enough times for all of them.
Yes.
Man, I did. I mean, God, I love this
movie. This is a good litmus test. If you have ever said, well, I don't know about Batman versus Superman. I can't figure out why they'd be fighting. You probably shouldn't go see Deadpool.
That's a really good idea, yeah. And Something that WB could take away from this is like they did Suicide Squad and it's a PG-13 movie. It's going to go into deep philosophical concepts and probably deep psychological areas and emotional areas, but it physically won't get there because PG-13 doesn't allow it. There's only so much violence you can actually show in a PG-13 film. And, you know,
but talking about Suicide there's Squad, a lot, but there's a whole hell of a lot of physical violence that you can hint at. And if done well,
absolutely,
it's even better than if it was, if we're an R, because an R rating basically tells the writer, hey, you don't have to have that much of an imagination. It tells the director, hey, you can get by with just showing the thing.
No. I mean,
PG-13, like, you have to see that shit, like, off, you know.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I completely understand what you're talking about. It's just, if you have a new enough take, you can still do an R-rated thing and do it in a new way and really express yourself. Or you can, and I mean, like, me and you, we're big Whedon fans. Like, when you rein him in, that's almost when he gets the most clever. So, yeah, I understand the idea of, like, okay, all right, you have an R-rated concept, you want to express, but we're going to make you express it as a PG-13 concept. So you need to, what that makes a writer do, though, is dig deep into what is the thing I'm trying to express. Like, we're not going to focus on some visual gimmick. It's not going to be about that. It's what's the thing? What's the tort that I'm trying to actually levy against someone? And that's actually where a lot of creativity comes, where it springs. And God, that's fucking fascinating to watch. And it's amazing. But Deadpool doesn't require any of that shit. Deadpool's a fucking smut film. Do that.
I wouldn't go that far either. Like, it's not,
okay, yeah,
it's not NC-17.
But damn it, do that thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're like, okay, the montage of them having sex at different holidays, I could have written that in a way more PG-13 way that doesn't involve seeing them having sex and just implying it.
No, showing I could have done it at, you know, them the time after. And not necessarily had to show. And by the way, I'm going to give it to, I don't know if it was the director or the DP that actually did such a good job with this, but it has been said that you can tell who the main person is in a film by how much nudity they are required to show. So her colleagues at the strip bar, full frontal, baby, sorry, but Miranda Buckerin apparently is, she requires really clever shooting to have her be naked and not actually have the titular parts, I want to say.
Right, and, you know, that's surprising, because she's been nude before in a few different projects.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the, you know.
But they did. They did a really good job of shooting it around her being completely actually at any point, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think they could have, you know, been a little more modest. I don't care. That doesn't bother me. But
they forewent. I'm going to make up that word, I guess. Forwent that modesty in regards to Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
They go, well, I mean, scary, flopping dick.
See, I don't know where you saw that, because I looked hard, and I didn't see that at all. You told me that was there.
I warned you that was there.
It was not there, though.
It was.
It was not, I
Ajax
assure you.
Scene, the scene in the actual, what the hell do you call that? The project fucking,
yeah, where
the
everything
center
was
of
the on
goddamn
fire and
like
fighting.
Project like Weapon X facility,
yeah, like they were fighting and everything was on fire and he was naked and they were
at some point that Ajax throws Reynolds,
yeah,
and
I remember the scene.
I'm telling you, man,
you don't see a scarred dick, you see a silhouette of a dick for half a second. There's not a scarred dick. I don't know what you thought you saw, but it wasn't there.
I'm not saying I saw curves and ridges. I'm just saying I saw like the flopping flagellus thing between the thighs happening.
Well, it wasn't even, you couldn't tell it was scarred. It was a silhouette.
Oh, no, no,
if
no.
If anything,
no, no,
I mean,
no, no,
you
no,
can
no.
tell that it wasn't, a, you could tell it was circumcised.
I only assumed it was scarred.
Oh, okay. We'll see. When you start saying things like scarred, I started imagining actual scars and, you know.
No, I don't
I mean,
know.
This is a post-Watchmen world, man, where I had to see a giant blue dick flopping around.
Right.
It wasn't anything
like
that.
Several of them on frame at some point. no, I'm not discussing whether the guy brought like a kielbasa or like a burned fucking hot dog to the party. I'm just saying that there was some something happening between the thighs while he was.
Well, like, yeah,
they didn't bother disguising that shit. And there's actually a couple of pretty funny jokes within the movie, even like within the context of the movie, because you could do this with Deadpool, about, hey, for the girlfriends who got dragged to this, look at some Ryan Reynolds' ass. What up, baby?
Mm-hmm.
Those were funny. Those were just straight funny, man.
Yeah. You know what I enjoyed? The Green Lantern references.
Oh, my God, they were good.
And we even got a Blade reference, which was nice.
That was nice. Really
I
nice.
Mean, it wasn't the right Blade movie, but it was still nice.
I remember going, Blade 3, damn it. Blade 3.
Yeah, yeah. Have fun going to... Well, it fit more with Blade 2. But yeah, you don't want to, you know, name drop Blade 3 when those cats would not have been going to see Blade 3. They would have been going to a midnight showing of Blade 2 for reals. But
oh,
it was still good. It was like still franchise. Franchise.
Something you asked me about, I haven't gotten to ask you about this since we talked about it. You asked me about, like, the cameo, you know, is there going to be a cameo? And I said yes and no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How'd you feel about it when you finally saw it?
What cameo were you talking about? You're talking about the magazine cutout of Hugh Jackman's face?
That's the fucking cameo. Yes, that's the one that, like, the news was like, there's going to be a cameo! And then it's just Hugh Jackman's face.
Yeah, they had a couple of those. Like, I don't know why he needed that Hugh Jackman magazine and that duffel bag of guns, but whatever.
No, the fact that he bothered to put on like a cutout of Hugh Jackman's face before he went out to like save his future baby mama.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit, man. Just holy shit, that's funny.
He stapled it to his face.
Staple. And you can see the chin staple is still just dangling there.
Uh-huh.
While she's oh man. God. That was the funnies. Maybe not all of them, but a preponderance.
Yeah. It's pretty good, man. So, do you think there's any likelihood that Suicide Squad or Batman vs. Superman is going to be as good as Deadpool?
Different ways. I have... how would I put it? You always have to have faith about these things. I'm hoping that Batman vs. Superman is as dire as I keep thinking it's going to be, because it should be. I mean, it just should be. Like, it's basing, like, the premise it's based off of is the Frank Miller concept. And, like, the Frank Miller Dark Knight Returns concept is the thing that made the Batman that we know today. So do it and fucking do it right. My big problem in general right now with where they're going with the Man of Steel is that I'm hoping this is like an angst period before, like, I want to get to the guy that is, I miss the Boy Scout. I do. I always have. Like, that's the point of having the Superman character, is that there's this person, this at least bipedal human-like thing that just makes you question every decision you've ever made. Because he's just
unless
so
you're
much,
Batman.
Yeah, of course. That's actually extremely important to me. But everybody else in the entire superhero community, like everybody that's ever been attached to the Justice League, looks up to this guy because he's the better form. He really is. Like, he's the Ubermensch is the original formatting of the phrasing out of like Kantianism. Like, he is the ideal Superman. So I miss that concept. I really do. And I hope they kind of a little bit get back to that, the Ma and Pa Kent value system. That's where it is for me. But holy shit. Like, you're going to do Dawn of Justice. It should be as sour as I'm hoping it is right now. And you know, we've had our problems. But the trailers portray a sour thing, and that's great. And Suicide Squad should just be a lot of fucking fun. With a lot of fear and a lot of spectacle, and just fucking blow me away while you're at it. Just, dude, pull out all the bottle rockets and shoot them all at once, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then, absolutely.
Then let's get back to the story. Let's get back to Justice League. Let's get back to, like, telling these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, you'll have earned your purchase. You've got it. You've got all the footing you could possibly need to tell that story. There's nothing like... Yeah, and I really enjoyed the fuck out of Deadpool, but there's nothing like it in DC's current canon. There's just nothing.
Yes. In the soil of my heart, Deadpool's seed has found purchase here.
Right. And it shall take root.
And it shall grow a mighty oak.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call it, man.
It's like if there was one character that you hoped got a spinoff that did something Deadpoolish, it's got to be Harley Quinn, right? Current DCEU movies.
Yeah.
Character you think could do it out of what they've got established at this moment. Right now, it would have to be Harley.
Yeah, unless they throw in a Booster Gold or something. That's the one.
Right.
I'm calling it, though.
We're
almost 3 hours in.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
No, well, we are, but
yeah,
the episode isn't.
Right. Guys, we've enjoyed talking to you about Deadpool.
Which we obviously loved.
Really great movie. I know it's not DC, but, you know, we probably won't do this for probably any other Marvel movie. But
we're not like hitting up Civil War in May. It's just,
I mean, you know, I don't want to say that we'll never do this again and then nope, here comes Deadpool 2. Well,
no, it's nothing that serious. It's just
this was actually good. It was. So yeah, we are DC on screen traditionally. You can find every episode, including this one, at DCOnScreen.com. You can find us on iTunes, and whenever the hell they decide to get it back up, you can find us on Stitcher.
Of course.
Go find us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCOnScreen. You can find us on Twitter, /DCOnScreen. It's not difficult to find us. We're
anywhere
a proud member of the Giant Size.
Pods are cult.
Anywhere. Mostly, I think. We're a proud member of the Giant Size Team Up Network. That's what I was talking about. GiantSizeTeamUp.com. If you want to listen to a couple of guys kind of like us, but not nearly as humorous. I'm kidding. We'll talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Go check out our buddies Matt, Carol, and Jeff Randall at the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, MCUcast.com. What were you about to say, Jason?
Not at all true. They make me laugh.
Yeah.
I
was kidding.
You covered as much.
I was kidding. Please forgive me. We'll be back next week with all sorts of reviews and stuff. You know, I don't think Supergirl's airing tonight, but we'll be back with Lucifer and The Flash and Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow and stuffs, more news. And you guys can talk to us about all that on all of our social networks and stuff, because that's where we are. And we respond pretty quickly, honestly. We're pretty good about it. So
it's almost like a thing we care about doing.
Yeah, frighteningly so.
Because we do.
That's probably it. That's probably why.
I can guess, but I want to say probably.
Guys, take it easy. Have a great week. Share this podcast with your friends because, I don't know, seems good. Seems like a thing to ask for. I don't know. Until next week, keep some DC on your screen and keep some DC on screen in your ears. That's the ticket.
You DC on screeners. Working title.
Scarred penis.
I can't improve upon scarred penis as the final word.